Boker Tov, everyone. Yud Beis Kislev, Siman Chaf Vav, Halacha Gimel, all the way to Halacha Yud Beis. We're starting and continuing with the laws of Kaddish. And as we mentioned, most of these halachas don't apply directly to the splitting of Kaddish because everyone says Kaddish together. However, it will differentiate between who is going to have the first rights to daven at as a chazan. And sometimes, as we'll see, they split the actual tefillah. The Iker is, of course, to do this in a peaceful way, never to be in a fight. That's the worst thing you could probably do as an Avel. But you still need to know the halachas and who has preference. So here we go. When it comes to a Ben Shiva, I mean someone that's in the 7 days of Avelus, and he's a Katan. So technically speaking, he's not obligated in Avelus, and he came to Shul to say Kaddish, and there's a Yortzeit. So the Yortzeit gets one Kaddish. And even if there's many yortzeits, which is going to end up pushing off the cut of the minor, that's okay. If someone is a ben shleishim, who's within 30 days, he should take one kaddish. But if there's many people that are within 30 days, so they have a veil shleishim, we do not push him off completely. So again, this child, this minor, won't be pushed off completely. If there's a gadol, it means an adult that's not going to shul every day, and he came during the Shiva, so he gets all the Kaddishim. Because really the principle is, how often is someone going to come to Shul? If it's not often that he's coming to Shul, so we give him all the rights, especially that he's an adult, and he's within the 7 days of Avelus. Except for one Kaddish, that he should do a Goyal, he should do a lottery with the guy that has a Yortzeit. It's fascinating to know what exactly did they use. Did they flip a coin? Did they have some type of lottery like they did in the Beis HaMikdash? But that's what they would do. They would do a goyral, a lottery, and see who gets to say the Kaddish. If a person was, the Avelus was canceled because, let's say, the Yontif came, so he actually has the same status as a Katan, right, which we learned because technically he could come to Shul every single day. If someone is within 7 days, but he's a Katan, and you have a Gadol, same thing. He's also within the 7 days of Avelus. And on Shabbos, of course, they both come to Shul. So they're equal when it comes to splitting the Kaddishim. So probably they would split it, or they would end up doing a Goyra. If there's a Yortzeit, he gets pushed off because of the Gadol, meaning that's in the 7 days. And therefore, the Gadol has one Kaddish more than the Katan. Meaning he has a Kaddish that the Katan should have given to the Yortzeit guy. Next, Yortzeit and the Ben Shleishim. This is probably the most common argument that you still have today. Meaning you have a guy that has a Yortzeit today. And remember, Yortzeit is a person that only has this day to say Kaddish. So you have a Yortzeit, you have someone that's within 30. So they come before someone that's within Yud Beis Chodesh within the year. Nevertheless, it says that you should give him some Kaddishim. Now, so what should you do? How should you split it up? The Kitzur tells you. You say the Kaddish to Rabbanan and the Kaddish after Aleinu that goes to the Yortzeit guy or the guy within 30. The rest of the Kaddishim should go to other Avelim. If they have, let's say, Avelim, according to the leftover Kaddishim. What happens if you have a Yortzeit and you have someone that's within Shleishim? Now, this is really the essence and the core of who takes preference here. And again, on the one hand, you have a Yortzeit, so that's certainly a time of din. As we mentioned, this is all based on this principle of judgment that's taking place when someone has a Yortzeit. So when it comes to the Yortzeit, there's a certain level of din that the person, and therefore when you say Kaddishim, you're helping out the Nifter. So when a person has a Yortzeit, on the other hand, a person has, there's another guy, and he's a Ben Shleishim, he's a Shleishim guy, which is also a serious status of din. So the halacha is, so if there's enough Kaddishim, so the person that's the Ben Shleishim comes before the Yortzeit guy. That means that, and this you have a lot of times, who gets first preference between, meaning who's a stronger right, the Ben Shleishim or the Yortzeit? And then real answer is, even though we find this in Mechlekes, and the Moshe finds it in Zecher Tzadik, has also a tshuva on this, really the Ben Shleishim is stronger, and even we'll see this in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. However, there's a sensitivity to the Mr. Yortzeit guy, because at the end of the day, this is his only day to say Kaddish. The Shleishim guy is going to continue saying Kaddish anyway. So therefore, even though the Shleishim guy is stronger, and therefore when there's enough Kaddishim, he gets more rights, but if it's going to push off the Yortzeit guy completely, so then the Yortzeit guy must get something. So here, as the Kitzur says, You have a yurtzad and a ben shleishim, and there's enough kaddishim. The ben shleishim comes first, and the yurtzad only gets one kaddish. The Bialach actually writes that the yurtzad should get the first kaddish. Now, if there's a lot of yurtzad guys, each one gets a kaddish, even though the ben shleishim will be pushed off completely. Why? Because at the end of the day, he's going to continue saying kaddish tomorrow. So that's what we just mentioned, that even though the ben shleishim is stronger, still the yurtzad is going has to get something. And in my humble opinion, this will probably solve the great dilemma. So let's say that when it comes to being a chazan, the Piskei Teshuva actually writes that you should divide between mincha and marv and shachis. That means mincha and marv, you should split between the shleishim guy and the marv. And this, of course, is assuming that they already knew before, they were preparing for this before. And shachis, you should split. One guy should daven until Ashrei, and the second guy should take over from Ashrei and on. Now, what happens quite often is two guys show up for mincha. One guy is a yurtzad, one guy is a shloshim. So in this case, even though the shloshim guy is stronger, the yurtzad guy should take preference at this point. Again, assuming that they both did the equal preparations and they all were supposed to call the gabbai, etc. In fact, the Piskei Teshuva writes in the Shtiblach, they usually split and everyone knows when they're davening. So if the guy messed up and he didn't go on his appropriate time, technically speaking, as we'll see, he has a lesser rights than the guy that has a kfius in that minyan. Now, if you have two aveilim that are totally equal, which could happen, then you do a goyro. So I guess the equivalent today, they should have an ashul, some type of goyro, or they should flip a coin, and that's how they should make a decision who gets it, and hopefully that will create peace. If someone got a marv, so the other guy has a kaddish, after one kaddish by shachis, again, this is talking about the two aveim that made a lottery. So the one guy gets marv, one guy gets, the other guy is going to get kaddish in the shachis in the morning davening without any goyra. And on the third kaddish, they should make a goyra. Also, there's a lot of people, so they should make a goyra, they should use a lottery. Someone who won in the lottery already, won Kaddish, he should not enter into the lottery again. I remember this actually was very similar to what they used to do in the Beis Hamikdash when they came to the Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. They use a lottery. Then they used to use like a number and they used to go around counting and whether that number would land on, they would stand in a circle. So maybe that's also a system that one could use. I've never seen it done. That's the truth. Okay, next, when it comes to a resident versus a guest. So a resident versus a guest, of course, the resident has more rights than the guest who just showed up. This also happens in shuls. Unless the guest is within Shiva. If a person is a yurtzeit and he's a resident, and you have a yurtzeit that's just a guest, so the guest has nothing technically. If someone is within 30 and he's a resident, or he's within the year and he's a resident, and you have a yurtzeit that's a guest, so the guest at least should get one kaddish. Yurtzeit, who's a resident, and then you have a guy that's within 30 that's a resident, and then you have a yurtzeit that's a guest. So the guest also has one kaddish, and therefore the yurtzeit that's a resident can't tell him, excuse me, I come before you, because the guest could say, I'm not taking it from you, I'm taking it from the guy that's within 30. So therefore the yurtzeit resident takes one kaddish, the yurtzeit guest takes another kaddish, and the guy within 30 takes a third kaddish. If a person is a guest and he's within 30, and you have a resident that's within the year, those two guys are equal. But it's still proper to give the guest something, at least let's say from Ashrei and on, rather than push him off completely. If a person is a yurtzeit, he has a yurtzeit and he's a resident, and you have someone that's within 30 and he's a guest. So the resident should say the first kaddish and the second kaddish, and the guest should say the third kaddish. A guest within the year has one kaddish amongst the other mourners that are residents, meaning even though they're within the year. A person that is off. So what is considered a resident? A resident is someone that has what's called a diras keva, a set dwelling in the city, even though he's not paying taxes, or he's paying taxes even though he doesn't have a dira. So this could be very much applicable to today's status. So someone showing up in Muncie, is he paying taxes or does he have a house that he lives there, a residency? If someone comes to say Kaddish in a place where his parents used to live, right, because he feels emotional and he wants to say Kaddish, at the end of the day, he doesn't have any din of Teshav. He's not considered a resident because of that, because he doesn't have a residency there and he doesn't pay taxes. Now, the Bala Bais that has an owner, that has a Melamed or a Masharas, a servant, if they are single, they're not married, they're considered residents. If someone's learning in yeshiva, if someone is a hired teacher, so to teach certain balabatim, even though they actually have wives somewhere else, they're still considered residents because they're considered kavua, they're considered set. If someone is raising a yosim, an orphan, who does not have a father and a mother, even if he's being paid to do so, he's considered, meaning the yosim, the orphan, is considered a resident. But if he has a father or mother somewhere else, even if this person is taking them in as charity, still the child is considered a guest. Hope everyone got some of these halachas. Have a beautiful day.